I am Gary Colley. We've been discussing throughout this week the cross of our Savior, by far the most important event of the history of the world. That is the death of our Lord at Golgotha. Much of the world wants to remember His birth, but oftentimes men don't remember His death. The Bible emphasizes His death, which Romans 1:4 proclaims Him to be the Son of God with power, and then also to be our Savior, the Savior of the world, the only hope the world has for reconciliation with God. And indeed, as we've talked about the cross of Christ, we've seen the suffering of it, we've seen the great pain and agony that Jesus went through, we've seen the great love that has been expressed by the Father in providing the plan of salvation, the great love that has been expressed by Christ Himself by making that plan workable by His death upon the cross, and then, of course, the great love of the Holy Spirit in delivering that law perfectly to each and every one of us. So as we think about these things, the freedom that issues from the events of Golgotha is the freedom that really is so needful in the world, isn't it? And this, of course, because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We can be partakers with Him. We can be partakers of His divine nature, of His name, of His work, of His suffering, and of His glory. And what a blessing it is to be a partaker with our Lord. The death of our Savior, of course, needs to be stressed. It needs to be brought before the minds of the world often, because Jesus, bearing His cross, went forth into that place called the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified Him, and the thieves, one on each side of Him. But this needed to be done because of our need for the remission of sins, because of God's eternal purpose to afford us that opportunity, and in order that we might be reconciled unto God. Therefore, we have to conclude that Jesus needed to die not because of His own difficulties, but because of ours, because we were alienated from God due to our sins. Well, why did Christ die? We've learned three of those reasons, but under the headings that we now give, we want to discuss the forces that contributed to His death. We've noticed the necessity of Christ's life being taken from the earth, and its prophecy, and its fulfillment. And now we will see why such a tragedy occurred. It was a combination of things. We mentioned the love of God. In Romans 5:8, He commendeth His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Here's the great love. How wonderful it is to have the love of God even while we were yet His enemies. We were yet sinners. And that even makes His love more divine. But then second of all, there's the weakness of man. That was why Jesus had to die. You see the betrayal of Judas when he comes and kisses the Lord and says, "Hail, Master," and then the soldiers took Him. We see the denial of Peter. And don't you know it crushed the Lord as He hears one of His own disciples, one of His chosen apostles, make a denial that even knows Him. And of course He had predicted this. When He looked upon Peter after the third denial, Peter, seeing the Lord's look, went out to himself and wept bitterly over the sin that his life had produced. Then there's the rejection of Jesus by the Jewish nation. All of these things brought about the death of our Lord. Had the Jewish nation accepted their own Messiah, then He would not have died. If they'd have believed their own scriptures, He would not have died. But they don't believe those even today. And because of that, their Messiah died, but they don't know it, and they will not acknowledge Him as their Messiah. Third of all, the reason Jesus died was the cowardice of Pilate, wasn't it? Even though he could find no fault, and even said so three times as he talks to the people, he could find no fault with that man of Nazareth. But Pilate condemned Him to death. He gave Him over into the hands of the people. Popularity meant more to him than principle. What a sad thing. But oftentimes, even today, men again crucify the Lord because popularity means more to them than the principles of truth. Then fourth of all, there's the humility of our Lord, the humility of Jesus, the Son of God, humbled Himself and became obedient, the Bible says, unto death. And then it even goes further to say, even the death on the cross. Philippians 2 and verse 8. Who would have ever thought that the Son of God would suffer at the hands of men? But indeed it happened. In Gethsemane, He said humbly, "Thy will be done." He asked three times if it might be possible for man to be redeemed in any other way. But seeing that that was not possible, He humbly said, thy will be done. Why did Jesus die? Well, there's another reason. There's our desperate need for salvation, isn't it? Certainly the major reason for Calvary was the despicable condition of mankind. You see, Romans 3:10 said there was none righteous, no, not one. There were none that sought after God as they should. They didn't fear God. There was none righteous. And there was no hope, of course, apart from Christ Jesus, who made his righteousness our righteousness through our obedience to his will. He gave his life a ransom for many, Matthew 20:28. And the Hebrew writer tells us, you know, that Christ tasted of death for every man. In Hebrews 2:9, he said, but we see Christ, who's made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and with honor, that by the grace of God he might taste of death for every man. What does it mean that he tasted of death for every man? It means that he died for every man. There are none who are rejected if they will obey his will. He's the author of eternal salvation to all who will obey him. The grace of God is offered to all. Titus 2:11-12 says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. When we see our desperate need for salvation, as God has already seen it and Christ has already seen it, then we will want to turn. You know, a very grateful Apostle Paul, after his salvation, stated that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and then he said, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy 1:15. Could we not say much the same? Maybe we are among those who are the chief of sinners, and we would not have any hope whatsoever, even in our desperate need for salvation, had it not been for Christ seeing this and going to the cross in our stead. Not only our need for salvation, but the humility of Jesus, the cowardice of Pilate, the weakness of man, and the love of God caused Jesus to go to the cross. How did our Redeemer die? Have you ever thought about the difficult situation of our Redeemer upon the cross? The cross was the most excruciating, difficult death that anybody could die. And a careful biblical answer to the question of how did our Redeemer die will certainly add depth to our appreciation of the Savior, won't it? First of all, the Bible says he died openly. Paul said before King Agrippa, these things were not done in a corner. Acts 26:26. Jesus was executed during the Jewish feast of the Passover. All Jews had to go to that Passover feast. All the Jewish nation was there. And historians tell us that 2 million Hebrews were in or about the city of Jerusalem for such an occasion as this. 2 million people. Secondly, the man of Galilee, Jesus the Christ, died in a noble manner. Not only openly, but nobly. And not once did he allow the pettiness of others to divert the will of God. When he was asked, art thou the Christ? Jesus merely answered, thou sayest. He never did refuse to answer the question, art thou the Christ? Art thou the King? No, he answered these things each and every time, though other things he opened not his mouth. But so resplendent was he, even on the cross, that a centurion stated of him as he saw all of these happenings, truly this was the Son of God. Matthew 27:54. But in the third place, Jesus died vicariously, that is, on behalf of others. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, we learn that one died for all, as Paul said. Peter also tells us by inspiration that our perfect example bore our sins in his own body upon the tree, 1 Peter 2:24. Jehovah made him to be sin or a sin offering for us even though he knew no sin, says 2 Corinthians 5:21. So how did our Redeemer die? Well, he died openly. He died nobly. He died vicariously. And then fourth of all, our Savior died very painfully. The Roman scourging, of course, that had been received by our Lord before the actual crucifixion was enough to kill some men. They had metal pieces on the ends of those whips, and as they beat these men with the many stripes, the heavy burden of that beating was very much a difficult thing. It was very painful. And then the heavy burden of the cross that he had to carry was an additional agony. After all night in the trial, after the beatings that he received, after the scourgings and after the difficulties of the Roman soldier spitting in his face and slapping him, we find the heavy burden of the cross Jesus carried to his death. The heavy burden then was carried because of you and me. Usually, you know, in the first century, when one was nailed to the tree or crucified, he was laid on the top of a crude cross made out of a wood of trees while it lay on the ground. Spikes were driven sharply into the criminal's hands and feet. Then suddenly the cross would be projected between heaven and earth, bringing excruciating pain to the man when it was dropped into the hole. These terrible things were experienced by the greatest one who ever walked the sands of time, the Son of God, the Son of Him who blessed us and gave us all that we need in life. These terrible things were experienced by the greatest one who ever walked in life, and the throng mocked Him. Blood from the wreath of thorns flowed down His face. No wonder the hymn writer was touched, and his heart was caused to sing, "So you see from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and blood flow mingled down. Did ever such love and pity meet? Our thorns compose so rich a crown."